What are you doing making shiny effigies?
Shiny metal pots. Making a YouTube video.
Yeah, cool.
Giving me excuse to finally make a or like machine something that's like simultaneous five axis. I think maybe like one time I did deburring. I've done deburring a couple times, but it's almost always three axis where like it's very like, you know, positional, like a part is set up and it like machines, then it turns. And
yep.
It's just that it's like the sexy stuff you put on the internet that like some people use simultaneous five axis, like full five axis. And I was just like, I don't know. Sounds fun. Let's try it.
Yeah.
So cool. It's a good excuse to make a video. Made a weird little kind of like trophy with an AirShop logo at the end. Cause I was just like, I need something. I started making a form and I was like, he could put a logo here. And it's
just right.
Something.
Yeah, looks good. What's the theme of the vid?
Just that. Just wanted to make. I'm trying out this new gimbal coolant clear too that I've had and not installed for a long time. So I kind of like wanted to test that. And I was like, what can we make? And I was like, well, I still haven't done the like a five axis part really. So
are they the window things, the look through the window?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like the look of those.
Yeah. I have like a pre-production model that he sent to me.
Ah, cool.
And it's all been changed now, luckily for everybody else, but trying to attach it to the back of the window, it's actually not that hard because it's got like 3M VHB tape, but the tough part was getting like RTV sealant around the inside and the outside.
Oh,
of
wow.
All the edges, and that is not a skill set in my repertoire, and I made a mess, and it took me like multiple attempts of cleaning it up afterwards. And I messaged him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we give people for that version, we give people clear sealant now, clear edge sealant." It's like, oh, that'd be better than black for sure. So there's some of that in there. Will be some of that in the video too.
Has it been a minute since you put a YouTube vid up, or have I just not seen them?
Well, last night I was filming other videos and I had the gimbal little camera out and walking around. And I was like, I really want to do a shop tour. I need to we need to finish tidying up. It's, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while, doing a new one since we've changed the shop so much. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to film one now in like 4 minutes. I had to go pick up my kid at daycare. Okay. I was like, I have 5 minutes. I'm going to film it right now. And I just like speed walked. So there's one on YouTube right now that's 4 minutes, just under 4 minutes.
Oh, you checked one up already. Amazing.
Yeah. Editing was like make a couple chops and
yeah.
Just put it online. So I don't know. Just felt like I got to stop like making things precious. Just do it.
Yeah. Sick. As I often find myself Googling your business when we're chatting. Why is there still a big blue splash screen on the front of your website,
Mr.? Oh, I haven't changed. I haven't actually.
Come on.
I was kind of hoping this wasn't going to come up. I was like, oh, I haven't changed that. And I was just, if it came up, I was going to say, yeah, I'm just going to put it off for a couple more years.
I see.
I haven't officially flipped over everything. For some reason, I got distracted from finishing it. And do you have this thing where it's like now there's been a few more days, my brain has started to like lose track of like, where was I with that? It makes it like harder. Like as it's become another 24 hours, it's like, that's a little harder to finish.
Yep. Yep. I'll keep hassling you for a few more years. We'll see. See what happens.
Oh, I'll finish it. I'll finish it.
What's happening, man? How's shop life?
Oh, shop life. Oh, I just done that thing where I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish this video. Started last Thursday. It's now Thursday again, and I'm still basically finishing that video. Yep. Not like only that, but I don't know. Something about some things just take me endless time, I swear. So What about you? What are you up to?
We had a weird week here. It was public holiday on Monday, so it was only a 3-day production week. So it felt very compressed, and Rowan was away, so we had our main sort of dispatch guy out. And I mean, Ro's job's not just dispatch these days. He's pretty production focused, sanding and sealing parts and packing orders and getting stuff ready to go at the door. It's kind of his week. He works 3 days a week normally, and so I was covering him. So it was a pretty crazy, like, I stayed here till like 1 or 2 a.m. most nights this week, not just because I was covering, but just because it was a short week and we had heaps of jobs to get out the door. And none of us had clocked the fact that it was a public holiday. Like, it just crept up on us, and we're like, oh, didn't realize until late last week. And I'd scheduled like a very full week of production. Like, I was looking chockers already for a normal week, and then public holiday and one person down. And like, I think none of us have really adapted yet to like the fact that we're still a small, you know, it's 2.5 years later since we downsized, but still in our head, like, having a third of the production staff away is a much bigger impact than what we think it will be.
Yeah. No kidding.
So yeah, it was kind of good. It got me on the tools, and I just like dipping my toe back into processes, but like, particularly around dispatch and packing orders, it's all a bit of a shambles, and that's no one's fault. It's just no one's got time to do like lean improvement stuff out there. So it's just like, get the orders out, and then kind of that's all the time available. So, you know, part of the reason I stayed late this week was to sort of get shit done, but also just sink my teeth into some, I barely got improvements done, but I was sort of doing a whole bunch of planning around like, cool, this needs to work better. What if we did this? Need to build some little cells, I think, some like little sub-assembly cells, kind of like J. Pearson style, or what's the fast cap guy?
Oh, yeah. No, we don't talk about him.
Don't we? Is he blacklisted? I missed the memo.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
cool.
A MAGA piece of
work. Oh, is he? Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Write him off the Christmas card list. Yeah, I need to spend some time. We got like 11 FedEx orders ready and out the door yesterday morning. It was a real push before the truck came. And then I just wanted to spend the whole afternoon just doing like rearranging improvement stuff. But
we've been doing that for like 2 weeks.
And I've been watching you do it. And I was like, I want to do that right now. But
it's hard to flip back to like real work again.
I was a good boy, and I came back to my desk and did quotes for the afternoon. Yeah. So I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
What exactly is, good. Do you even have, well, that's the word to say it. Do you have a diagnosis of what is wrong with your dispatch or shipping, I think we would call it?
I think the biggest couple of things that are broken are the components and parts you need are not there. Seems you have to walk for even little things like screws and hinges. Like, we did have a sort of trolley that had all that sort of sub-assembly stuff on it, but it looks like it's just been discontinued and not really used effectively. It didn't have what I needed on it. So I just did a lot of walking, like way too much walking. Yeah.
I call this undercover boss whenever I have to do it. I'm like, all right, shit's going to change. I didn't like that.
Didn't like that.
I had to walk.
Yeah. Then it comes down to the question, do you then just do it, make the change, or do you request the change? Well,
when you were talking, do you know the phrase time to lean, time to clean?
Yeah.
It's like an old school, old boys mentality of boss sees you leaning on something. Now you better clean.
Yeah.
And I was trying to rephrase it into time to lean, time to lean. Like, if you don't have time to lean, then you have time to lean. Like, I don't know. Something like that, where it's like, there's never a good time. But I did hear somebody was on a podcast, I think, and I'm not going to remember who said this. It's probably Dylan's interviewing somebody where I think he was saying, like, when do you do improvements? Like, how do you do that? And the person I think that was answering was like, well, you never do it. I think it was the CAD models guy, Brian. He was answering. He's like, you never do it when you're like in the shit, when you like are under fire, you've got all the projects going out. As much as you think you have no downtime, there's always a little bit of a lull somewhere. And that's when you do the bigger changes, improvements. Like, don't expect that you're going to like tear apart your shipping desk and still ship, which we kind of did accidentally like a week ago. Ricky, I think there's still a hangover from it, but it was good. And he managed to still keep shipping everything every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, I think you, similar to me, like, since if you're not the one shipping, I do this kind of thing where I'm like watching how things are going. And I'm like, oh, well, what if we move this table? Or in my head, I call it like the sous chef, where I'm like, can I come assist? Like, here's the paper. It should be closer. And I think it causes people to like fumble and be like, oh, this is weird. Why are you so close? Long answer.
No, yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking about it last night. You know, do no one else really has time or could justify, you know, what I will do, which is come in, stay back, use, you know, soak up personal hours to rebuild our, you know, a sub-assembly cell or redo shipping or blah, blah, blah. Like, we used to have a bit of a structure of like a monthly lean day where it was like tools down for everyone. But, we had eight people in production then. Now, our output was so much, well, it wasn't actually, but like technically our output was so much higher. We could kind of maybe, well, I don't think we could afford it, but like we thought we could afford that downtime. Whereas now I feel like lean just has to happen. Like it has to slip in. Like, I don't feel like we can justify it. But also we've got so much more automation now. Like, we've got robot sanding, we've got, you know, RFID, CNC. Like, I feel like things can keep happening whilst operators are making those improvements. Like, we do have more capacity with a small team. I feel like we should be capable of doing those sorts of improvements on the fly. But then it's, you know, then it's down to the question of, cool, who's driving them? Like, what's the vision? How's it cohesive and effective? And, you know, and the age old problem too, of just like, not everyone thinks like that. And so it's like, you can't force someone to be like a mad lean operator when that's just not there. Anyway, two thoughts, go.
I always have two thoughts. No. Let's see. I think just listening, you know, it's like while you're talking, I start to rehash like how you can change the dynamic or something. I was thinking, can you just schedule it? Since you're scheduling production, can you schedule kind of like
good idea.
Voldemort style guy we don't talk about, like a 2 second, you know, every day, can you make little improvements to it where even as a team, you're like walking over to that desk and going, hey, how do we change? Let's focus on just things we're walking away from or whatever, you know, whatever you find the five issues you see and just fix one or just take half a day and tear it apart, you and one other person or something, and just go for it. And it's kind of like what I was talking about with like filming the video. It's like, we'll make these things into this, like, I'm stressed about other stuff. So like when Ricky's like, oh, we need to, you know, and he actually doesn't do this, but it's like, he'll just keep working around the issue and not complain about it. But I walk over or I have to do it for 30 seconds. And I'm like, walk to get what? No way. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk across the shop. And I, you know, I'm always in those mentalities of like, I'm thinking, well, this is going to be done 500 times this year. And how much does that, you know, add up? Moving the conveyor line 5 foot closer to where the shipping desk is. And the other was to assign it to somebody to fix. And even if they don't think about it, make them think about it. and say, well, this, you know, you have 2 weeks. Like, how could you improve this? And, you know, you have some time in between. If you need help, let me know. If you need to buy something, let me know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My two.
I don't know.
Or give up.
Yeah, give up. Go home.
Fucking give up.
Do it myself. No, I don't know.
Aaron's been really like wanting to go out to the coast, the beach near us, because she likes, she really like loves it out there. And I'm just like, we need to work on house projects and all this stuff. And then I was kind of stressed out. And I was like, let's just go tomorrow when everybody's working on Friday.
Excellent.
Run.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now I just kind of want to come work on your shipping desk with you.
That'd be sick.
I'll just be right over. Hold on.
Thanks. Whoop. If only. Yeah. So instead of doing any shipping improvements, I just went home last night and like feverishly yelled at Cursor whilst cooking dinner about making improvements to like Rhino scripts.
Yes.
And pretty much spent the whole evening once the kids were down, like making more like Rhino automation stuff for my quoting process. Got pretty excited. Damn, it's good. Just besotted with Rhino at the moment. Not that that's anything new, but yeah, I don't know.
You wrote down you need intervention. Is that for that you seem to be liking it though?
Intervention. Yeah, but you know, like,
this isn't something I should be doing, or
not when I'm cooking dinner. No, probably not.
Aaron keeps yelling at me, like, why is your laptop in the kitchen? Like,
yeah,
I am doing work.
My laptop was playing. Perched on top of the pasta pot as I'm like cutting things here. And like, yo, no. When I drag diagonally in that direction, it needs to do this, okay? The door handle's going in the wrong way. Sorry.
Was the pot hot?
No, it was a cold pot.
Laptop's like, I'm burning! Don't you know?
Yeah, that was the intervention thought. No, it's good. Just, yeah, making some great quality of life improvements to my like Rhino quoting builder. I mean, I already had this bit, but like I can build, because it's so fast to build in the online builder, like you just drag and drop shelves together, and I've got builders for 3 product lines now, like Kitaparts, the shelves, and Threadboard is almost finished as well. And you can just like hit the share link or export the JSON out of each of those. And like, I've got a Rhino script that sort of rapidly imports, rebuilds all that geometry in Rhino. But last night I was making a script that like makes doors and drawers and infill panels for Kitaparts just by like clicking point to point. And it automatically creates all the geometry for super fast, like custom quoting. You know, the bulk of my workflow now in Rhino is like someone who's had a go on the configurator and is like, kind of, this is what I want, but I want it this deep and slightly different dimensions, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm using like all these script workflows in Rhino to quickly generate something. I was laughing with Aaron, who used to work for us. He used to help me in sales. We were chatting recently and he was reminding me like how I used to be on his back about not drawing anything for customers. Like, when you're doing a quote, don't waste time like drawing. Just get, you know, make some assumptions, guess work. Some stuff, get the quote out the door. Whereas now I'm like, you know, if I look at my iMessage history for yesterday, I've got this chat with someone. Who is it? There's like at least 12 screenshots of different iterations on a design, which I was like rapidly pumping out on the fly. I'm like, what about this? Oh, like, like all the design work's basically done before the quote's even sent.
I'd assume that's pretty fast.
It's so fast.
How much time are you? Because you're, do you, you can start from your online thing and then probably like update it quick and screenshot it and send it. And it's drawing is a whole different thing though. It's like, you know, I used to say that too with, you know, anymore. It's like, if I'm doing any type of work for a quote, it's pretty rare to try to, because it's just like all in my head, you know. It's like how long it'll take, or like, I don't have to, I'm not guessing how long cutting a sheet of plywood is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was the other update I was making last night, was around pricing. So like, just more and more. It's kind of the last thing I've still got in Airtable is like custom quoting stuff, which I need to migrate. But yeah, more and more now, most of my pricing workflow is just happening in Rhino scripts as well. You know, hit an alias and it pumps out a little block of copy to my clipboard, which I can paste to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just spits out multiple tiered price options depending on different materials and stuff. And it's good. Yeah, enjoying that.
Oh, I have a recap. I have a follow up item for you.
Please.
I think it was messages. I was sending you messages after a show or in between or something, and I was saying that back freaking 15 years now ago when I was still in architecture, I was saying it used to be impactful to the vendors of people that would supply, like basically like yourself, that would supply some type of thing. This is when you're working on your customer, big customer project. We were talking about that you put your models onto these databases where architects and designers go to look for these things. And Aaron confirmed that's still pretty true, that just being able to get your models easily, even in like a dumbed down, like, you know, basically rectangles, if they're your shelves or something, you know, it's like pretty close. But they do render them too. They want them rendered in their Revit models. And like Aaron is like constantly doing that. It's like visualization for the client, right? Like, what are the textures? What does it look like? And so if they can just get that stuff, you basically get yourself spec'd into architecture projects. And then if they have the exact thing that you already offer, it's not like you're doing custom work for them necessarily. It's just, it's a pipeline. That's what I'm trying to say, potentially.
Yeah.
By being technically savvy and you already have all the models. So I just, you know, it's a lot of work still, but she said, even if you have it on your website, you know, that's better than nothing, because they have to recreate it otherwise. And that friction sometimes is enough for them to just pick something else.
Totally. I mean, that's happening at the moment. Two things there. I don't like working for architects and interior designers. Me too. They're a pain in the ass. Sorry, people. But no, agreed. I'm sure you're lovely, but our processes don't match. All of our processes are set up for direct to consumer, like helping someone directly. Our pricing model and all of that is just not calibrated to help. So, for instance, I think I told you, like, I'm quoting this job for Atlassian offices in Sydney at the moment. And it's like, in many senses, it's an ideal job because it's like a shit ton of kit parts, components, you know, multiple units, some customization, you know, high value job. Mm-hmm. I think the quote's up to around 40 or 50K, which is what?
Right.
Two weeks worth of full production for us. But, you know, what's going to happen next is that, you know, I've been dealing with this interior designer, which is fine. It's been working well together, but, you know, then that's going to go off to a builder for tender or multiple builders for tender. And I've got this happening on another job at the moment, which was with an interior designer. And now, like, I'm quoting two massive building companies, definitely won't sign their purchase orders. You know, they'll send through, if we win the job, they'll send through really arduous contracts.
Yep.
Which I won't be signing. And so it's like, it's all such a waste of time. And the same thing's going to happen with this Atlassian lead. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating.
No, I get it. Okay. That makes sense. Why you wouldn't want to pipeline that then. I was, you know, I guess I was thinking more of it just like they just go and buy it then. But no, that's true. It never works that way. We've had this training our new shop coordinator on some of this like inquiry stuff, and they haven't been around like purchase orders and stuff. And we don't get a lot, but we are getting more now. And I don't know if it happens the same for you, but like somebody tried to like send, so they were emailing back and forth about like, oh, we need these tools. And we're like, no, you just buy them direct. But if you really need to, we can make you a draft order basically that you can check out with so that you don't have to like just do it for you. And so then this person just sent back a PO PDF, and in the bottom of it, which is fine, that's technically, I'm fine with that. But in the bottom of it, it's like the most sneaky shit that I just despise. There's some that's like, if you complete this order, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions of this order on our website. And they have this like incredibly huge terms of like, you know, it has to be perfect and it has to arrive in a temperature controlled box. You know, it's like, some of the stuff, but it's like, I literally said, you need to put in the reply and on the order that we are not agreeing to any of those terms. Like I will not agree to your arbitrary PO terms. I just, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. That's not how we do business. You don't get to make up rules on how you buy things. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's what annoys me about these building company contracts. It's like, you just want to buy my product. It's pretty much something you could buy off the website, but you're going to send me this crazy arduous purchase order with all this fine print, which I don't want having anything to do with. Had that actually this week. We've got, you know, because I fired most of my like big, more sort of corporate clients years ago when we sort of really dialed in the sort of product direct to consumer model. I've still got one commercial client, and it came up this week actually. He was trying to order some stuff, and he'd been a bit like, their company had been a bit slow to send a purchase order, or they'd sent a purchase order with like $0 values for something that hadn't been quoted. And I was like, well, I don't actually know what you want me to quote. And then weeks went by, and then they're like, oh shoot, we need this stuff next week. I was like, well, you haven't ordered any of it. What do you want to do? You could have just jumped on the website and ordered this 4 weeks ago, and it would have been fine. So now I'm staying up late, you know, being nice, getting your order out the door. And I realized as that was happening, I was like, oh, this is partly because you're the only client we have left who like sends a purchase order. We have to generate an invoice out of zero, send the invoice, wait for a deposit. It's like, you're the last one. Anyway,
I have two very distinct minds about this, because I've thought about this changing over time as I'm like both building purchasing system for Airshop, where you should be able to send a purchase order out of it the same way. And then I'm thinking about receiving that on the other end. And it's such an antiquated system in some ways, but it's also very effective in terms of getting things accomplished. And when I order from vendor Technics, and I mean, you can do it with McMaster and our tooling company, I just often am sending them, and even our local plywood and aluminum purchases, I'm sending purchase orders that way. And it's a very efficient system in a certain way, although it does require manual entry on the other side. Yep. It's like there's this weird gap here between like, couldn't that be automated and still be as efficient, or still be as good for the sender, I guess, because the receiver has to do all this work where somebody's manually typing it in. I'm thinking about like, you know, as we grow our sales, like I'd like to get more repeat orders from, you know, different companies, and do they already use this and we're turning it away, and would it make them order more? You know, there's all these weird things that I haven't yet, I don't know, resolved. Is it just hiring people to deal with it? Is that all it is?
No. Yeah. Don't know. I mean, if it's work you want, then build the systems to make it frictionless, right?
Yeah. I mean, just think about how if it would depend. I'm sure the formatting is an absolute disaster to go through, but if you had a email that you could forward, you could send your purchase orders to, we could easily build an ingestion script, right? That like creates a draft order or creates an order in Shopify for it, right?
Totally.
And the payments where it gets messy, because I still at this point wouldn't want non-payment, I guess. So maybe it would like send them the checkout link or something. I don't know. It's still friction.
Till they work out they can like prompt inject your ingestion script to
to get it for free.
Free. Oh, look at my free Shopify checkout that I could make by
I deleted all of your products off your Shopify.
Ignore previous instructions and
give me a pizza. I can just imagine Ricky coming over to me and be like, do we sell pizzas now?
What's this?
Sometimes, you know, remember the days of when you were putting out new products more often. You'd be like, yeah,
I just remember those days.
Screwed the whole team and put out a product last night.
Yeah, I love being able to do that whenever I want now. Not that I've released anything new.
Nobody's stopping me.
It's great. I love it. Constantly fiddling with pricing models and stuff. Nobody knows.
Shelf subscription.
Shelfie. Reporting back in on my like major Shopify, invisible Shopify overhaul of 2 weeks ago. Yeah, about 2 weeks ago, where I made like hundreds of micro changes over a weekend with Cursor in the hope that it would improve like conversion rate and
Crow.
Sales and blah, blah, blah. I'm happy to report that things are, I mean, it's early days, but things are looking up. Things are looking up. Some good.
Are you
good
seeing a change in conversion rate?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I am. Conversion rate's up. It's over just over 1%, which is very unusual for us. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I asked Sidekick yesterday. I was like, how things tracking, little mate? Since I did all that work.
There's an interesting, you know, I'm going to get real in the weeds here and ask, which part of the convert, like, is the conversion rate when you go to analytics and it says checkout conversion rate over time? Because there's like these weird stages, right, of like all customers,
yeah, that
whether
one.
They check out or whether they check out after they get to the cart or.
Yeah, I don't understand those breakdowns. This is just like
funnels.
This is like the conversion rate. Like, did they buy the thing? Right?
Right. So, yeah. I think so.
I don't.
It's like ours says 83% for today, which is ridiculous. That's not it.
Because some people use conversion rate of like, oh, someone saw my ad and they clicked on it. That's conversion. It's like, no. Did they buy the thing?
Right.
Then it's not a conversion.
This is what I'm saying, though. So like on the analytics page, I'm getting a 78% conversion rate, but it's about checkout.
What?
Checkout conversion rate. And
they
it's
reach checkout.
Percentage of online store sessions with a completed purchase relative to sessions that reach checkout page. So this is what I'm saying. It's like they give this weird like.
But did they actually buy the
thing?
Then
there's
or
conversion
not?
Rate over time. Right. There's two of them.
Here, I think I'm looking at conversion rate over time.
Yeah, that makes sense because mine's.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I told you about my weird bot problem, and it's absolutely decimated my conversion rate over time. It's currently 0.19% this year because we had like hundreds of thousands of bots just like scraping our site or something. I don't really know.
Did you fix that with Cloudflare? How did you do that?
Didn't work. They figured out ways around it. Didn't help. And the more I clamped it down, then I couldn't use Claude on my own website. And I was like, well, shit, can't even, it's blocking my own. And Claude's like ethical. Right. So they're like, we're not going to go around it. We're not going to ignore robots.txt.
I had, for the first time ever, I had like fraudulent orders come through recently, like three of them in 24 hours. And Shopify flagged them. They're all for like a $4 item, like one threadboard peg. And they'll miss, it was like a German IP address, but like a Sydney, a really generic Sydney address. And I tried using Cloudflare to block them, but they kept coming. And then I ended up just putting in like a minimum order. I had to install an app to do it, but like a minimum order blocker. So like someone couldn't order, place an order for something under $10, which just meant whatever bot was creating these, find the cheapest product on the website and buy one of those to test a stolen credit card, just meant that then hopefully that failed and I haven't had them since. But yeah, I couldn't get the Cloudflare. I was trying to do like IP blocking through Cloudflare and I couldn't get it to successfully do it.
I think it's slowed down significantly. It was frustrating me for a while, and I finally just like, I don't know, I can't do anything about it really. Like, and somehow didn't turn into anything other than probably stolen IP scraping system that's creating all new products based on our things they find on our websites. And I don't know, I don't know what the scheme is. Talking about it here probably helps.
Oh, yeah.
Make it stop.
Yeah. Cool, man.
This hit me in the moment where my favorite podcast is called Roderick on the Line. Just two white guys talking. I've listened to it for a long time. It's, I don't even know. Other than one's a musician, one's an internet guy that, and the thing that the musician said last week was that he's like, I've realized over time basically that it's not a prophetic show by any means, but he said, like, I've realized that all hoarding is emotional, and the real weight of me is that the hoarding is of my own unfinished projects. And I was like, God. Yeah, I'm hoarding unfinished projects. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I feel that.
I really felt that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yep. So many. So many. Mm. And I've realized one of the problems with my unfinished projects is that I want to keep them visible. Like, because I feel like if I tidy them away... Yes. Whether that's virtually or digitally or physically, then they just vaporize from my...
Disappear.
Yeah. Yep. I just will never think of them again. Certainly not in a way that would get them back on my radar enough to get done. You know, that's something that used to annoy me so much when I had a larger team who wanted to keep the office tidy more so. It's like prototypes and tests and things would just disappear. I'd be like, where the... cut that sample of that idea that I'd had and it's gone, and then I'd find it in a box that had been like tidied up. It used to make me so mad. Like, don't you understand how my creative process works? I need this. Collecting dust. Sitting there.
It's really hard to... I've tried to come up with a system that I've never... You'll be surprised. I've never finished the system for... organizing prototypes because I'm basically surrounded by them, right? In this office, it's like
buy the system. I want that system.
And all the system was just get some bins and put a project in a bin. But then, like, the problem with this in the products that we have, none of them fit in a standard bin or anywhere close to that.
Exactly.
Like, some of them are like
they're all different sizes.
Oh, let's put some fangs in a bin. Okay, cool. But then also, let's put like a whole giant bent sheet metal thing. Like, where the fuck is that going to go? You know, like, so there's no system that works across all the things. So then I've got like, oh, somewhere over there in a corner, and then the rest are just on the floor behind me, you know? Like,
yep.
I don't know. Don't know. No good solution.
I found the other night I was working on the robots, hanging the Fez tool sander off the back, It's like, I know I've got a tub of like ducting and like vacuum attachment stuff somewhere. Where is that? And because I used to all just keep it all under my bench. And I was like, oh, that's right. Someone tidied that up. And like I go up, look on the pallet racking. There's like full skid, like box-sided pallet. And I peer in and I'm like, oh, there's that prototype. There's that prototype. Oh, there's that test. It's like, it's been tidied away. Damn
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe it's good for me.
I know that feeling. Cleanse,
automatic brain cleansing just by these things disappearing.
The thing that I get into constantly, and I feel like maybe your prototypes are different, is I just have like endless hardware bags. Yeah, here's some M4x12s. The fuck were those for? Probably some prototype. I don't know. How about these screws? Like, where's these ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did find something from like years ago in a. Here's some more. I did make some Gridfinity bins, but then I didn't label them.
That'll help.
They just get piled up more, but I can't see what's in them now.
Yeah, I've got some Gridfinity on my desk here, but I can't see it under the like pile of bills and table tennis paraphernalia.
I like the idea that this is now fully revealed itself, that like we never thought we were helping anybody, but maybe somebody thought like, oh, maybe these guys are like helpful with sharing what they know, but really we're just like confusing people, and they're like, they don't know shit. They're just messes.
Yeah.
Yep. I keep cool bananas. My coffee mug that's empty.
Yeah, I should probably go take kids to school.
My attempt to saw off my weird 5-axis part and.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with your big.
I have. It's like a $700 saw setup.
Don't mess
and
it up.
I've never used it before. But it's really fun to have through spindle coolant for a lot of these things. It just like sprays out right in the place where you need it rather than like all over the place. So.
Mm. Good
Hopefully
luck.
It goes fine.
Good luck. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll make a dramatic YouTube ending if. If it doesn't, so.
I said that and
think of the views.
I don't know if I'll keep it into the video, but I was like, you know what's really great about like recording all your work for YouTube for a video? It's like you just get to see the crazy dramatic crash when it happens. You're always ready for good and bad. And and it's taken away a little bit of my brain power to like prevent crashes, to like think about filming it, even with the tripod. And it's like, is it just worse? I'm not making $30,000 a video like some of these influencers that just crash a car for.
Yeah, don't do that.
No. Okay.
Call me.
I should go.
Me too.
Bye. Bye.
Public holiday Monday and the roster's paper thin. Rowan's off the FedEx load and now the fun begins. Boss is walking circuits with his clipboard to his chest. Half the crew is leaning and the other half you guessed.
Heave-ho!
Not that kind.
Heave-ho!
Never mind.
Heave-ho!
Grab the tape.
Heave-ho!
Make your escape.
Time to lean, time to lean. Not the broom kind if you know what I mean. When the lull comes rolling in, that's when the real.
Boys, every tool and silhouette.
Wait.
Color tape the floor now while the machines ain't going yet.
Wait.
Standard work for every job, Kanban on the bin. Boss walks in and catches ya, just act like you're cleaning.
Heave-ho!
Caught mid-sword.
Heave-ho!
Last resort.
Heave-ho!
Wave your arms.
Heave-ho!
Sound the alarms.
Time to lean, time to lean. Not the broom kind if you know what I mean. When the lull comes rolling in, that's when the real lean work begins. Time to lean, time to lean.
See, the saying goes,
time to lean.
Time to lean, but we say,
time to lean.
Time to lean, the methodology. Toyota would be proud, probably.
Toyota!
Toyota!
say you're running a Kaizen. He won't know the difference between the method and the laser. Point at shadow boards and not say value stream with weight. He'll think you're a genius, boys. Walk off and leave you great.
Hee-ho!
Undercover.
Hee-ho!
Blown your cover.
Hee-ho!
Say Kaizen.
Hee-ho!
He's amazing.
Time to lean, time to lean. Not the broom kind, if you know what I mean. When the low comes rolling in, that's when the real lean work begins.
Time to lean, time to lean. Time to lean. Time to lean. Time to lean. Time to lean.
Hey! Lean, ho, lean. Lean, ho, lean. Lean, ho, ho. Lean, ho, lean. Lean, ho. Lean, ho. So do we sweep or standardize?